Understanding our mission, Jenny, I had Christian schools around me exploding. I had one in particular that tripled in size, and we lost 35 kids that first year. And I was the only school going down. All the other Christian schools were going up. And we just stayed true to our mission. We just kept on praying. Then the trajectory started. But I think a lot of organizations found out who they were during that time. And if you didn't have a philosophy, you're probably going to be in trouble.
Welcome to the BJU Press Teacher Edition podcast, where Christian educators are encouraged and inspired as we bring you interviews, practical ideas, strategies, and answer your questions about teaching in today's culture. And here's your host, Jenny Copeland.
Welcome back, everyone. Question for you. Do you know of a business that has closed in the last 2 years? How about a school? Do you know of a school that's closed? And why did they close? So often our first pat answer these days is COVID. They didn't last through COVID. And that on the surface may be true, but why really did they close? In so many cases, there's something more. And I'm quite confident if we were to pull together their stories, we would find a common thread. Sure, they have external forces, maybe location or maybe a lack of staff or something along that line. But what were the internal forces that contributed to where they are today? And on the flip side, are those same internal forces the ones behind why other schools are alive and thriving today? Think about it. And we're going to explore that topic and more in today's conversation. But before we dive in, I first want to welcome all of our listeners and thank you for making the Teacher Edition podcast a part of your day. As we get started, let me again remind you to take a minute to subscribe to the podcast. If you have friends who aren't listening in, please share this podcast with them as well. Don't forget to follow us on social media. We are Teacher Edition Podcast on Facebook, and you can find us on Instagram and TikTok at Teacher Edition Pod. Once more, that's Teacher Edition Pod. By the way, we would love it if you would take a minute to review on Apple Podcasts. I know that's something that I personally have to intentionally take time to do when I listen to other podcasts. Leaving a review really does help others find the show. So take a minute to do that if you are enjoying the Teacher Edition Podcast. And lastly, we are still looking for your questions. So I want to invite you to go to our website, teachereditionpodcast.com. Once you're there, you can subscribe to our emails. You can also submit your questions. It's just a simple click of a button and you can record your question. For all of our listeners, be sure to listen all the way to the end of the podcast, because if we have a question to share, we will do it at the end of the episode and you won't want to miss out on that. All right, back to our question. What elements or forces truly influence the vitality of a Christian school? Is it the flashy billboards? Is it abundance of staff? Is it awesome sports teams or orchestras? Is it having no rules or a boatload of rules? Or is it something else? I'm honored to have Damian Ahrens on the show today. So Damian is a seasoned educator. He has served in parochial schools, private, public, and Christian schools. He has degrees in biology education, pastoral studies, teaching science, and educational leadership. So he and his wife have 6 children, and they love spending time together. I hear a favorite is at the Outer Banks. He also coaches basketball. He loves reading works of Puritan writers, and he is passionate about Christian education. And I can assure you, you cannot talk with him for very long before that is very apparent. So I first met Damian a number of years ago, and literally every time I run into him throughout the years, I walk away challenged and blessed by his heart for serving the Lord through Christian education. So I couldn't think of anyone better for this topic today. Damian, thank you for being here. You ready to unpack this topic?
Man, it's so good to see you, Jenny. Let's do it. I'm excited to see what we can talk about today.
Okay, so before we tunnel way down on this topic of what drives the vibrancy of a Christian school, I would love it if you'd take some time and just share your story. It's always an encouragement to hear stories of how God calls individuals into education, specifically into Christian education. So if you wouldn't mind, would you share your story with us as we get started?
I come from a family of educators. My dad's an educator. My mom at that time was a school secretary. I have a brother that's an educator. I was grading papers when I was young, and I was running line drills with my dad when he was coaching basketball. So that started at an early age, came out of Roman Catholicism. I was raised Roman Catholic and ended up graduating from Catholic schools, Benedictine College in Atchison. And then from there, the Lord took me on a journey. I began in Catholic schools. I was teaching biology and coaching basketball, football, and track, and did that for 5 years. And I was ready for a change. And I was actually on a walk in a parking lot in Kansas City. And I was telling God how much I loved him. And he said, if you love me, will you keep my commands? I said, I can't. I became convicted of my sin, went back into an empty apartment, and gave my life to Jesus Christ. And from that point, I moved to an international boarding school. I'm a new believer. I'm fresh. I don't know anything. And God brought a born-again maintenance man into my life. And if you know anything about facilities and boarding schools and maintenance, they all work together. So we started that and gave me my first Bible Promise book, and just really started to grow anything I could get my hands on. Well, I ended up meeting my wife about 5-6 months later, and I saw her at a Pizza Hut, and I thought, man, that's a cute girl. And the Lord held that off for a little bit, and I ended up going on a date in Kansas City and did not meet that individual. And I told my friend, if God has a girl for me, it'll be Priscilla or somebody like her. And 30 years later in June, we've got 6 kids now, and that's a blessing. But from there, I was in the international boarding school, so recruiting all over the world, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Asia. Then also ADD had just come on the scene, so we had a 5-day boarding program with recruiting kids to Kansas City, and a 5-day ADD program. Then we had a day school. Did that for 6 years. During that time, I got discipled and started in seminary with Dr. Carl Herbster, Tom Farrell, Matt Williams, Morris Gleiser, many others, and went through seminary. And at the end of that 6 years, I had an opportunity to go back to Kansas City, and I was in the public schools for 2 years, learned an awful lot then, learned about process, learned about evaluation. Little did I know God would use that in Christian education. After those 2 years, went on to be the head of school and a school pastor at Tri-City Christian School in Kansas City. Got to serve there 11 years, and then the Lord led us on to Bible Baptist. It's now Matthews Christian Academy in Matthews, North Carolina. I was there 6 years serving. And then the Lord brought us here. We've been 8 years now at Faith Davison in Michigan. And so it's been a whirlwind. During those times in Charlotte, North Carolina, I had the opportunity and privilege to work on my doctorate in education at Bob Jones. And really, I didn't get a degree. I got an experience and a lot of relationships. I'm so thankful that. And Jenny, you're part of that as well. And so many dear friends that we've got to do Christian education with.
Absolutely. Those are great days. So at the start of this episode, I referenced the fact that a number of businesses have closed, churches have closed, and sadly, Christian schools have closed over the past few years. It's easy to pass that off as they closed just because of COVID. But why did they really close? I know COVID comes up often in education, and this podcast is no exception. We talk about COVID quite a bit. But talk with us about what you see as the impact of the COVID experience on education.
Well, COVID experience, I think, really challenged organizations to understand who they were or who they are. That was on March 11th. I was actually at Bob Jones University just a few days before at a principal's conference, and we saw the writing on the wall. Come home, I believe it was on March 11th, the state of Michigan shut down. At that point, we had to make a decision, and we flipped our school in 7 days. And I remember one of my lead administrators telling me, we need to do as the apostles did. We need to meet often. We need to eat. We need to stay together. Well, through that process, there's 2 things that we decided we were going to do. We're going to stay close to the scriptures, and we're going to stay close to our philosophy. Many in education understand the philosophy, the people, the program, all that works together. And understanding our mission, Jenny, was very important. And I'll tell you what, I was getting a little anxious there as I had Christian schools around me exploding. I had one in particular that tripled in size, and we lost 35 kids that first year. And I was the only school going down. All the other Christian schools were going up. And we just stayed true to our mission. We just kept on praying. And what happened was, is then the trajectory started. But I think a lot of organizations found out who they were during that time. And if you didn't have a philosophy, you're probably going to be in trouble.
So coming out of COVID, we've seen a number of schools really explode. Like you just said, a good explode in enrollment, explode in strength. But what makes the difference? You know, anyone can do a lot of marketing or give really deep discounts. But what do you believe are those elements that make a ministry truly grow and really grow strong and solid?
Be authentic. Jenny, when we go to a restaurant, nice restaurant with our spouses, we go to places where people treat us well. They believe in their product. I think when I interview families, one, we know what we're looking for and they know what they're looking for. We have lots of families that are tired of public education. Well, that's not a reason to come to a Christian school. And you know, you have the home, the church, and the school all working together in sync. I think that people, when they sit down and they interview, yes, we do social media stuff. Yes, we do some advertising. But word of mouth, hey, these people understand who they are. And I think the organizations that truly embrace who they are, understand their philosophy, are successful. Now, we did have some schools that exploded, but they weren't being true to their philosophy. I used to joke the international admission signal in the month of August is put your hand over your face and start waving them in. And that happened in COVID to schools that were looking at lots of money and a way to fix things. And you have to be so careful. And to the credit of a lot of schools, I know they were careful, Jenny.
So COVID has caused education to regroup and make a number of changes in a number of areas. We know remediation is a hot topic, attendance, and so on. And since then, the continued exposure, though, of the agenda and the wicked culture around us has put new attention on Christian schools as well, and what we believe and what we're teaching and how we mold students' experience. In your experience, how is this affecting Christian education? And really, how has education changed?
I just met with a family yesterday, and the parents were told, look, we just prefer that you not interact with your kindergarten or student. If you have any issues, we may get in contact with you. And I think parents are done. They're done with that kind of philosophy. It's been exposed. There's a culture out there that wants to control what our kids are listening to, what they're reading, and all those things. And we could spend hours talking about that. But what we're doing is we're saying, look, we've got a God calling. You know, God gives the authority to parents. Those parents and local parentis extend that authority to a Christian school. And then we get that opportunity to partner with parents. Parents love that. They love the fact that they're number one and the church is number two. You have the family, the church, and then the school. And that philosophy resonates with parents that are concerned about the upbringing of their young people to serve.
So the foundation of BJU Press and of this podcast is a biblical worldview. And I know you support that completely where you are. We've talked about how the culture we live in and the world we're serving in and how that is affecting our students, and students are growing up in quite the culture. This is also affecting Christian schools. Is it possible, in your view, to have a Christian school without a biblical worldview? And maybe take us right into your school. Talk us through how you all see biblical worldview taking root in your school.
First of all, biblical worldview is not just quoting Bible verses and moving on. Biblical worldview is rebuilding every academic discipline. I'm a former evolutionist. I'm a former science guy. And I always tell families visiting, we understand evolution better than evolutionists do. And we also understand that we're not a product of stardust, that we are image bearers of God. So the entire science program is built on that. Our entire English program is built on biblical principles. And when you intentionally build that up, you know, the scriptures say that we have all things pertaining unto life and godliness. The natural man receives not the things of God, their foolishness. And so when you come in here, from the time they're in preschool to the time they graduate, everything is biblically integrated. That's a way of living. Jenny, we live like that. You know, our families live like that. And that's what we want these kids to do, is to understand the authority of the Word of God that's inherent, it's true, it's immutable, and all those things. And that from that, they can learn. And obviously, once they come to know Christ, their understanding explodes, you know. But you have Christian schools out there that they got the name Christian, but they've got secular textbooks. They've got teachers that are not saved. It's a tragedy, you know. And parents have got to be discerning. Christian school administrators, you need to understand your philosophy, your boards. What are they looking for? Are they looking for high academic standards, and they're willing to give on those areas such as science, which you can't give. That's non-negotiable. So I'm seeing two different things out there. I'm seeing Christian schools that are taking advantage of the system. They're just going to get some kids. By the way, none in this area. But then you have Christian schools that, here's our mission, here's who we are, and here's what we're going to do. It's two different ships moving in two different directions.
What's next? What is coming? Where is Christian education going? And how do schools not just survive, but thrive in this present world? So I know you're not a prophet, but from your experience and, of course, from God's word, talk with us about the characteristics of a Christian school that will survive. Who's going to make it, and why do you think they will?
Okay, a Christian school that's going to survive is one that understands its place. It's not number one. That's where the family lies. Number two, it's not number two. It's where the local church, you know, the church has been set up to stand against the gates of hell. It's the ecclesia. It's a called out. It's that number three position of discipleship and preparation. That's the Christian school that's going to survive and thrive. Now, how we see surviving and thriving is up to God. You know, it could be a Christian school in Idaho that has 10 kids, and God's doing his work there, just as a school in North Carolina that may have 700 kids. So you have those examples. What I see, too, is we've got to be able to get back to the pulpit, and we've got to be able to promote Christian education from the pulpit. It's one thing to win a state championship, but it's another to touch lives for eternity. And I think Christian schools that will focus on their identity of preparing young people to serve Christ, helping them become more like Jesus Christ, being conformed to the image of Christ. You have the redemption of by Jesus Christ. You have the sanctifying power of the Holy Spirit, and eventually glorified. And that's our responsibility to help these parents. Christian schools that are focused on God's plan will be successful. They're going to have trials. We all have trials, but that's something that's important. That comes from that philosophy. So the philosophy of the board, the philosophy of the local church. What I'm seeing now is schools that struggle are struggling with their philosophy. They're looking around saying, do we need to do this to attract other people? No, do right. Do, you know, be creative, obviously, you know, all those things, but stick to your mission, whatever that is. And if you don't, you're going to end up like a lot of other schools where they just close the doors. It's a sad commentary.
So multiple times you have mentioned the influence of people on your life and as an educator. I know to me, there are Christian education giants, those who are leading the charge, those providing solid biblical leadership, and at the same time offering such wisdom and even mentoring those of us who are coming behind. Even over the past year, I've seen several of those giants go on to be with the Lord, and it's sad to see their influence gone. Talk with us about the impact those giants have had in your life. And then on the flip side, how we as educators can be preparing the next generation who one day will fill our shoes.
I think we both agree, Jenny, that all those giants were humble people and they didn't see Absolutely. Themselves as giants. They saw themselves as servants. I mean, we could sit here for hours and just quote all the giants that we know and all the sayings. And that's a responsibility that we have to disciple the next generation of educators. I think starting off in the classroom with our students, having them be aides, help them be student teachers, all those things, promoting Christian education. One of the things we do in our Christian school is we have in our prayer list, we are praying that God will call Christian school educators from our school and that young people will have a passion to serve Jesus Christ in a Christian school. I think, honestly, if young people going into education, Christian education, people my age in Christianity, we have to be broken. We have to be humble before the Lord. I believe that praying Colossians 1, 9 through 11 is a powerful prayer. Praying that God will give us that intimate knowledge of him, that we'll have spiritual wisdom and understanding. Why? So we can produce fruit well-pleasing to him. Every one of us have a different trajectory as far as the will of God in our lives. Now, obviously, the same landing spot to be glorified like his son, Jesus Christ. But we all have different gifts. You know, you and I have talked about those gifts that even God's given us, and we have a responsibility to steward those gifts. And I always tell people, understand your philosophy in life, but understand the scriptures. The closer you are to Jesus Christ, if you're going to be a Christian educator, be broken. You know, God gives repentance through acknowledging the truth. The goodness of God leads men to repentance. Be that person. Be that person that's humble, that's broken, that exhibits the fruits of the Spirit. Then you're going to have a massive impact on people. Yeah, we're excited when people win national awards and championships, but we're more excited when we see leaders and teachers that are transparent, that are living life and understanding that a life well lived is a life with trials and tribulation, as well as good things.
As we wrap up, what advice would you give to listeners? So Christian education is not easy. What can they do to help take their school forward in spite of everything that's going on around us? What are your suggestions? What can they do?
Really simple. Proverbs 2, 1 through 6. It's one of my leadership passages that the Lord revealed to me years ago. It's very simple. You cry out for knowledge, wisdom, understanding. You seek for her's hidden treasures. And when you do that and you have that heart to learn who God is, to cry out for understanding and ask God for help, he promises three things in that passage: spiritual wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. The same things Colossians does. Those three aspects of the working of the Holy Spirit in your life will allow God to lead you. The steps of a good man are what? Ordered by the Lord. He says, I will cause you to walk in my statutes, keep my commandments, and do them. God says, I bring the blind by a way they know not. Lead them in paths they've not known. If you were to ask me 30 years ago, am I going to be talking to you today, Jenny? The answer would have been no. So be sensitive to the Lord. Be in his word and love God with all your heart, soul, and might. And then he will direct your paths. It's pretty simple, you know?
Absolutely. We have some clear direction. And how often we also take the privilege of prayer for granted. And I love how you mentioned that. Just taking it to the Lord, seeking his wisdom. And I think when we've talked before, you've mentioned how you pray through the people at your school. And even now mentioning praying for those who will come behind us. We are doing God's work. He's not going to leave us alone. We need to seek his advice. We need to depend on him, and he will give us exactly what we need. I don't know if you have any closing remarks, but I think those are some great thoughts.
Jenny, that was a good reminder. Is anybody that's out there that's listening, pray over your family every day. Pray over your students every day. Pray over the parents. Pray over the staff. And we pray Colossians 1, 9 through 11. We want to produce fruit. Whether it's stormy, whether it's beautiful, we're always producing fruit. And God listens to prayer. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And I think, Jenny, just dovetail on what you said, we need to pray. We need to be humble before God, allow him to work through us and in us for his glory.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you so much for today, Damian. Thank you for being a blessing in what you've shared. And you've also given us a challenge, too. And you've given us so much to think about along the lines of how we can shore up the foundation of our schools. Of course, dependence on God, biblical worldview, those are so important. But knowing who we are as a school, knowing our mission, knowing our philosophy, and standing firmly on that. So thank you. I appreciate what you've shared. Thank you for your time as well to be on the podcast today.
Thank you, Jenny. It was a great chatting with you today.
Thank you for joining us today. I hope you were challenged and encouraged as I was. Remember to go to teachereditionpodcast.com to submit questions for upcoming episodes. Of course, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and follow us on social media. Now, it's time to get back to your day, but it's not just any day, because every day in the classroom is your day to impact and inspire through God's power and through his grace working in you. Go do what God has called you to do.